Hey, welcome to the conversation with me here at Truth Unbound. I'm Walt Swaim. And well, it's happened again. So watch and listen carefully to this.
I know that there's a world of people who are going to be crushed, who are going to be let down and disappointed and hurt and sad and by hearing this. But anyway, I sent a letter to my church withdrawing my membership and saying that I am denouncing the Christian faith that I have believed, professed, proclaimed, and defended for the last 30 years of my life.
We need to talk about this growing trend, so let's do that right now. All right, just before we get into the subject today, thanks again for joining me here at Truth Unbound. I'm really grateful for it. I always am. And just really quick, before we continue on into the thick of today's conversation, we have reached a milestone. We've reached just over 100 subscribers, and combining both our podcast on podbean.com and YouTube, we've had a combined over 5,000 views or downloads in 12 different countries and 21 different states in the United States. Now, this is just in 10 months since we started, and to God be the glory. If you're desiring to know more of God's truth, though, as it relates to the latest trends and questions in culture and in life, then Truth Unbound is where you need to be. Invite others to come along with you on the journey with both of us here by clicking like on this video, subscribe, follow, and then share it with everyone and everywhere you can. All right, let's get right to it. So what do I Kiss Dating Goodbye author Joshua Harris, former Hillsong worship leader Marty Sampson, former Christian music artist Gungor, and former megachurch pastor Dave Gass, and Abraham Piper, famous for being the son of Pastor John Piper, also Desiring God and Gospel Coalition writer and speaker Paul Maxwell, and former and famous YouTubers Rhett and Link, all have in common. What do all these have in common? Well, in recent years and months, they have announced, each of them, that they have left Christianity. They've left the Christian faith, with some now making it even a life mission of theirs to evangelize, if you will, and make converts to also turn them from Christ and the Christian faith. And now this week, another has joined their ranks. Well-known and former Christian hip-hop artist, Brady Fanatic Goodwin. In a recently posted video by himself on YouTube and Facebook, has done the same. And, well, listen to it yourself from his own words, right here.
I know that there's a world of people who are going to be crushed, who are going to be let down and disappointed and hurt and sad and by hearing this. But anyway, I sent a letter to my church withdrawing my membership and saying that I am denouncing the Christian faith that I have believed, professed, proclaimed, and defended for the last 30 years of my life.
Okay, so is this starting to sound really familiar lately? Now, though, let me put this disclaimer out. Even though you may find it hard to believe, this video is not a personal slam on him. Frankly, he gives me the impression, and others who know him and speak about him in this way, of being a gentle man, kind, humble, and honest. So you might be disappointed, as this is not a video to slam him, but this is a look at some key statements he makes and how it sounds familiar to what others like him have said and what God's truth says about it directly and indirectly. I've spoken of this before in another podcast. What is deconstructionism and evangelicalism? But in previous podcasts, I've spoken of this, but I want to take it a step further with his story from his own words and put them into the light of true Christian experience and belief. Our goal in this, again, is not to tear him down. Let me make that clear again. But our goal here is to help others who may be going through this themselves, friends of yours, or maybe watching this podcast and wandering down this path of doubt and questioning. Well, in his case, I find a refreshing honesty, to be honest, in his apparent motive and experiences. I felt at ease listening to him. I actually watched it completely 3 times. And he concludes with just as refreshing desire to not follow in the hypocrisy that he has seen in other Bible teachers who have taught and trained him, who sign off on doctrinal statements, yet in private and maybe sometimes even in public, think, believe, and teach the opposite. So the first thing we need to make clear in response to this is that perfectly knowing God is not the same as personally knowing God. In other words, he seems to hang everything on every single point of Christian belief and doctrine for his own personal belief to be a matter of perfect, complete, precise answers and justifications and to everything, every single question, every single doubt that can be real or imagined. And once that is done, then he can believe or not. Now, what makes this interesting is he's a former apologist. Apologetics, again, is the defense of the Christian faith and truth. An apologist is one who defends Christianity, which is what we do here at Truth Unbound. So as a former Christian apologist and teacher and discipler of other future Christian leaders, then he should know that you can understand and verify truth claims beyond any reasonable doubt, and that that is sufficient enough to put your belief or trust in it. This is something that's talked about in apologetics, and as degreed as he is in it, I'm a little surprised that he hasn't presented that or talked to that point. A jury is required by law to make a decision beyond reasonable doubt, and not beyond all and every possible single doubt. Now, why is that? Because it is practically impossible to do so, even for something as serious and crucial as deciding the fate and future of a suspect's life, the one that is put on trial. It's impossible to remove every single tiny tangent of doubt or question concerning it or concerning the case. Everything in life is open to some degree of possible or imagined doubts and questions, but it is possible to make a solid case beyond reasonable doubt. So what's the difference? Well, let me give an outlandish example, okay, to understand the difference between the two. Let's say a book had been on a desk in a room, but now the book has been discovered to be stolen. Now, is it possible that aliens from Planet X zoomed in on their flying saucers, transported themselves into the room, and took the book? Well, yeah, it could be possible in someone's imagination, but is it probable, reasonable that it happened? Obviously, no, it's not. It's obvious that some human more than likely entered in somehow and took the book. Or you could look at it this way. Now, I've been a teacher and I've literally had students give that classic reason for them not having their homework in on time being due to the fact that the dog ate their paper, their assignment. Now, is that possible? Yes, of course. Anything happening to it is possible. But we find that they don't even own a dog or weren't even babysitting someone else's dog at that time, or dog sitting, sorry. So it's not a probable reason as to why they didn't turn in their homework on time. So Christianity has lots of questions, but the answers he describes as bending over backwards or hopping over barrels are not an attempt to prove every single real or imagined doubt or question all the time. In fact, even if you have every single tiny doubt, every tiny answer of certainty for every single tiny question, it does not guarantee that the heart, the human heart of the person listening and researching this can and will believe and turn their life over to Jesus. But the evidences are sufficient enough to make the case beyond all reasonable doubt that Jesus is who he says he is and that the Bible is indeed the Word of God. Let's go on to the next thing. Here's the other one of the other things he says.
I literally told God, like, if I find one more thing in the scriptures that doesn't have a good explanation without resorting to some kind of having to bend over backwards and hop over barrels to explain it, I said, I might lose my faith.
Now, in response to this, here's the statement I make. Knowing and following Jesus is a journey, not a destination. You see, his journey here is exhaustive and thorough from what I see and hear him describe, and that is highly commendable. I wish many more did this kind of serious thought at this depth in their faith instead of just snippets from the first page of a Google search. But this wonderful, insatiable desire to have this knowledge is not always the same as having a journey of trust and faith and belief in a person, meaning Jesus. You see, it is a pursuit, not of knowledge about God necessarily, but is a pursuit of knowing God personally and loving him. Even after believing, in a whole lifetime, you can never get every single answer to every single question about God and the faith. But you can get the answers to the essential questions and answers, and the most basic ones. This is why Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Peter also said this in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love." Now listen to what he says. "For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins." Wow. You notice what Peter says there, especially, you add the knowledge to your faith, not add your faith to your knowledge. And that's what I'm seeing happening here in his arguments. Apologetics is the defense of the faith, but even if it is not what convinces people, in the end, it is faith due to the work of the Holy Spirit in the heart and the mind of the person to believe, putting together what they see and hear and the evidences, and then trusting it with their heart. Now, here's another statement he makes.
It was weird because I'm reading it, and all these issues are jumping out of me, issues I never saw before. I'm like, yo, who put that in the Bible? Like, where'd that come from? No, that's been there. Why am I just now seeing this issue? I don't know what I have been doing in the past. Like, I've never seen this issue. I've never seen that problem. And it was just jumping out at me. I said, what's going on? Next day I went back, dove back in, and even more issues. I said, oh, wait, I had actually blocked and blacked out the issues that I have been struggling with for all those years.
Now, it's a part of the Christian life as you read the Word of God that even you could read the same verse over and over again. And I've commented this in my own teaching to others. You can see something like this. And I usually get heads that nod up and down. You will find something that you didn't realize was there before. And so I don't put that against him at all, because we all experience that. And if you're walking and adding to your faith, that will happen. It must happen. But what he's mentioning here is a little different than that. He talks about in the video that he has been an apologist, a defender and teacher of the scriptures and of the faith for some 30 years already. And so by the 30 years, you pretty much have the basic reasons, even a lot of the deeper reasons for believing in Christ and in what the Word of God says, and that it is fully trustworthy and without mistake, you've pretty much reached that pretty early on in your faith walk. Again, I'm not judging him, but when I say early on, that could be in the first 10 or 20 years. By this point in his life and having so much experience and also having so many title degrees in doing so, that it surprises me that he was making a statement that, well, that's not what I've never seen before. And he's talking about things that are crucial to believing, not just devotional thoughts or instructions from God on how to live. It's about deciding to believe in him or not. Okay? Eternity hangs in the balance on that decision. And so he's surprised that this happens. Now, Luke and Paul both refer in their letters, for instance, Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke in Acts, and mentioned that a lot of the eyewitnesses that he took those accounts, in fact, he says he wrote the entire thing based on eyewitness accounts, and that many of them were still alive to the very day of that writing of that letter and the receiving of it. In other words, he's basically daring folks to say, hey, these folks are still alive that saw all this. I'm just writing down what they've said. And there's many witnesses to it. Go and ask them yourselves. They're still around. And so this kind of veracity, this truthfulness is affirmed by eyewitnesses, isn't just for the Gospels, but throughout all of the Scriptures, including the Old Testament. The Bible's been around and exposed for hundreds and now thousands of years. It hasn't tried to hide a thing from anyone. The mountains of evidence collected over all this time and the questions, the answers that it gives to the questions that are out there are there for all to see, to all to analyze, to all to study, just like he is doing himself. I have found that this is a common result of those with this type of falling away from the faith, that there are things you feel you weren't informed of, and there's been this cover-up for centuries, like what was brought up in the story of the Da Vinci Code and the Gospel of Thomas, and that the church has been hiding these things for centuries from people, so to keep this whole belief system of Christianity going. And so what it feels more like than this whole idea of analysis of the truth is that it becomes a personal issue as well, not even a philosophical one, but an emotional one, a personal one, to where they feel hurt by someone or someones, if you will. And so I think there's more going on here than just about the substantive reasons themselves. And that's okay. It's just, let's be honest about it. And I think he's just saying it more indirectly as far as at the personal level. You know, even in discussing this area of analyzing the trustworthiness of the Bible and of the Christian faith, you know, it reminds me of that ultimate faith journeyman who went deeply in with faith, then deeply far away from the faith, and then deeply back in his faith by the end of his life. And that was King Solomon. Interestingly enough, he came to this conclusion as he returned to God. One of the things that God brought to his attention is this in Ecclesiastes 1:9. He says, that which has been is what will be, that which is done is what will be done. And here it is, and there is nothing new under the sun. In Ecclesiastes 12:12, he also says this, and further, my son, be admonished by these, of making many books there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. You know, I kind of want to think that God knew about this for fanatic, and he's more than willing to receive him back, and when he does turn back to Jesus, I think that if he does, he will be a formidable force to deal with as a even greater Christian apologist than he ever thought he was before, if he returns to Christ after such a thorough search journey. I pray that he does, and will be this one, and that it will happen one day soon. You know, Jesus never walks away from us, but we can and often do walk away from him. He doesn't move away. We do. Well, I hope that if you're going through a period of doubt as well about Christ and the Bible and the questions today, that I hope that this has helped. If you're going through this, I'd love to listen to you and try to be of help as much as I can. That's part of what we do here at Truth Unbound. So email me at info@truthunbound.org. Well, again, I hope this podcast has been of help to you. And find the best guardrails, if you will, to your journey toward or in your faith in Jesus Christ. So, hey, don't forget to hit like, subscribe, follow, comment, and share. And remember to follow Jesus, for in following Jesus, you'll always follow the truth.